You're listening to a special episode edition of 5x5. In these episodes, I reach out and connect with humans who are brave and vulnerable and willing to share their stories about being human. I would love to introduce you to our next guest. I'm so excited to introduce to you our guest for this special episode of 5x5, Dr. Tina Welsom. Tina is a doctor of physical therapy. She has a passion for the eight pillars of wellness and uses this integrated approach when working with people. Her zone of geniusness has come about from her own story and involves wellness, feelings, and relationships. She wants to remind humans that emotions are human, as are fears, beliefs, and faults. Tina is enormously active on her Instagram, Facebook group, website, and podcast, and has recently developed amazing workshops to share with people who need them. In this episode, Tina discusses the possibilities that come about in making intentional choices and how this leads us to get to know our true selves. She shares how finding herself brought her back home and onto a path where she now helps other humans to do the same. Authenticity, fulfillment, presence, and wellness are key words for her approach to life. She's fast becoming a light for those looking for holistic shifts in their lives. And I am so, so, so happy that she made time to sit with me and share honesty, integrity, and the wholeness of her story so freely. Welcome, Tina. I really want to thank you, and I want to welcome you to being part of our podcast as a special guest. And I want to thank you first and foremost for being brave and vulnerable, Tina, because that's not easy to do. And I know that people hearing your story will come to know more about their humanness and know that it is all okay. So welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
My first question that I ask everyone is, can you share an event or a moment in time with us that caused you to come to know more about being human?
I can. For me, it was choosing to leave a toxic marriage of 23 years, 28 years total, if you count the time before we were married that we were together, because I had to learn that I needed to love myself and take care of myself in order to be the best mom that I could for my three sons.
And in that time, were there things that you learned about your own human and lessons that came up for you that you needed to learn?
Absolutely. You know, you can always look back at something and, you know, regret that it happened. But somebody once told me that regret was a wasted emotion because you can't get that moment back, but you can reframe how you look at it. So I always look at mistakes and failures and things like that, experiences, as opportunities to learn about yourself. So for me, it definitely challenged my beliefs about love, about marriage, about faith, my own sanity, definitely, because I had thought that I was going insane, my intuition, who I am as a woman, a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a friend, and who I could choose to be moving forward in this next part of my life. Mm-hmm. So being married to somebody that made the whole world about himself, I also found out soon after that I was a people-pleasing codependent myself. It wasn't a shock to find that out, but you know, it had never been labeled and defined for me to kind of understand the role I played in the marriage. So I spent every waking moment trying to ensure that his world went as smoothly as possible. And I felt like I failed at it every day. So I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like this meant that I wasn't worthy of being loved by him. I felt like I didn't deserve to be happy. And I really lived completely in the future. I never thought about the past. I never could be present in the moment, in the present. I was always planning and creating multiple contingency plans so that if things went wrong, I could fix them, and worrying about things that I couldn't control and dreading failing yet again. So this this event definitely caused me to confront the fact that I definitely was only human and that I needed to choose to stop being a victim and feeling hopeless about my life. And I needed to step up and take care of myself to be a better mother for my amazing boys, because they deserve nothing less than that for me. I had to face that I needed to make that inescapable choice to leave my marriage, because it wasn't, my life wasn't going to magically get better without me taking some drastic action. So I had to confront my fear of an unknown future as a single mom, and I had to take a leap of faith and trust that I truly was going to be strong enough and loving enough to change the situation.
And I this wasn't a scripted question, but you mentioned intuition, because a lot of women that I speak to often doubt that. They try to convince themselves that that isn't something that they can be certain of. Can you tell us a little bit about that for you? How has now trusting your intuition shifted?
I'm actually looking through my notes, because I was writing my book today, and I think I was writing about intuition and how trust was actually my word for myself in 2019 after this all went down. Because of the things that went on in my marriage, I really doubted my own perception of reality. And I, you know, always thought everything was my fault, and, you know, always just reality, my perception of reality didn't match his perception of reality. And then I, of course, took the blame for it. So when we separated, it was very hard for me to trust what was true and what was right. And everybody would tell me, trust your gut. And I was like, I don't know who my gut is. I don't know who I am. And I actually am very fortunate that my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mother and my father put us in a 5-way group text. So anytime that I doubted my sanity or doubted my perceptions, I could reach out and one of them would contact me immediately and help validate what I was thinking or feeling or doing, which really was a huge gift to me, because I just did not trust myself. So I think, you know, that year when I had to pick a word kind of for me, it was trust. And in my mind, it was learning to trust myself, learning to trust my perceptions, learning to trust my emotions, learning to trust that my children and I would heal, learning to trust in the process, you know, that it was going to take time and that it could happen, learning to trust that intuition, and then learning to trust that the universe would deliver that, you know, that if I kept showing up as a good human being with good intentions, that things were going to be okay. And now I think, now that I've gotten to know myself better, because I really didn't know myself back then at all. I had never taken that opportunity. But now that I know myself better, knowing my intuition helps a lot. And one of my mentors in physical therapy used to tell us, when we would ask as clinicians, well, how do we know when it's this, or how do we know when to do that? He always told us that intuition was the intelligent use of past experience. And I really like that is the, when I think about what is my intuition, that's what I try to hold on to in my mind, is that I can use my past knowledge, my past experience to help me frame or see the lens that I look at of my present and my future. So that's kind of how it happened. And the more I trusted it and the more that it validated that I was on the right path, the more it really kind of came home to be something that I can take comfort and feel secure in.
Yes. And so in that time, you talked about your friends and family, but were there other lessons about other humans that came up in this time that you've taken on?
I think so. I think I definitely, for me, I had to learn to be selfish and to provide self-care to myself. And I struggled with that for a long time. I think I somehow grew up getting the message that to be selfless was like the highest ideal of who we could be as a human being, but also as a mother. And I feel like I'm seeing that message coming up a lot for other people as well. So I think it helped me to be vulnerable and start sharing that with people, because then it validated to me that I wasn't the only one that felt that way. So I think, you know, when you open yourself up and you're vulnerable, then you learn that you're not the only one and you don't feel as ashamed or as alone. But I think that, you know, being selfless, I don't think is a good thing for us to strive for, because really that means we're abandoning ourself. And I don't think that's ideal or healthy. And, you know, people often say, oh, well, I put myself at the bottom of my to-do list. I didn't even have myself on the to-do list for like the entire marriage. I just never thought about that I mattered enough to like put my wants and needs on there. And so I do think that every person in every human being needs to take care of themselves and ensure their own well-being and their own happiness without looking to somebody else to fill their cup or to validate them or to love them, because there's no external affirmation or nothing that anybody can do to you that's going to make you believe that they love you or that they think you're worthy if you don't believe that yourself. So for me, my three sons were the motivation that I needed to put my own oxygen mask on and actually invest in myself. And because I needed to be healthy and I needed to be there for them. And so being a good mother meant I had to take care of myself and invest in myself. So before that, I think I always took pride in being there for others. Sometimes to really an excessive extent and like unhealthy ways, because I definitely would find myself feeling resentful. Like, why am I always the one giving? Why am I always the one, you know, forgiving or showing up? At one point I did have to kind of come to grips with the fact that no one really was demanding that of me. I was doing that to myself. So I had to stop. You know, I can certainly, if somebody needs me, I'm there, but I don't necessarily need to martyr myself, you know, to be there. So I had to give myself time to kind of learn to do nothing, which was a really hard struggle for me. I needed to learn how to be a human being. I was so busy my whole life being a human doing and, you know, one achievement after the next, one task after the next. And I really had to give myself permission to simply be in the moment and enjoy the life that I've created. And I'm so glad that I did, because I'm so much happier this way.
Yes. And I, completely agree with you, and it's a great point that you make when you reflect on becoming more self-aware also helps you become more human aware, and what you see now in other humans is very clear that you probably wouldn't ever have noticed before. And when you look back on that time, Tina, of your marriage and the fact that you were doing instead of being, what do you think about when you reflect on that time?
I still struggle with feeling sadness and guilt and grief, you know, for the ending of my marriage and for the future that I thought I was going to have. But I also see my past that was also a gift of opportunity, because it shaped me and created the person that I am now. It helped me to learn how to let go of the past, to not live in constant worry about the future, and to live and love and enjoy my present for the gift that it is. I think it changed me because it finally allowed me to become who I was supposed to be, who I was intended to be. I committed to that relationship when I was 18. And I think that that was really just before I even had the chance to explore and get to know myself and define who I was on my own before adding my, you know, throwing my lot in with someone else. So I've definitely learned to give myself self-care. I utilize a lot of self-awareness and self-compassion, which I think we all need to give to each other. I know my inherent self-worth, and I've uncovered, accepted, and actually learned to love my authentic self, which really would have been a shame if I had never gotten to know myself and to learn to love myself. So this knowing of my true self now kind of defines my why for what I'm trying to do in my business, because I really want to help support other people as they go through this same process for themselves. I think, I don't know if it's a midlife thing, if it's a midlife falling apart or a midlife coming to awareness. I think it happens earlier and later for different people, but I think we all kind of get to a point as humans that we're maybe not sure that we don't feel fulfilled, or we're not sure we're on the right path, and we start questioning it, you know, as we look towards our future. So I think that, you know, for me, I now know that I stand securely in my authenticity. I find joy in simple everyday moments. I strive to maintain good mental and physical health and wellness. And I really do believe in the abundance of the world. And I believe that giving love as well as receiving love is really kind of the answer to things.
Yes, I absolutely agree with everything that you said. So you've come this huge way in a long period, but short period of time.
I took way too long to get to the short period of time, but I'm here.
Yes. Yes. And I do resonate so much with that. It's not necessarily a midlife falling apart, but a midlife coming back together. And I agree with you that it's at that point that we stop and start asking questions about who we are and what we believe and what we stand for and who we want to become and what we want to give to the world, that we almost have to unravel to recollect what we want. And so after that road has happened for you and you're out the other side, what do you know for sure about being human?
What do I know for sure? Well, I definitely think that you have to surrender to the being, to allow it, to sit with it, to allow yourself to feel the emotions when they arise instead of ignoring them or shoving them to the side or suppressing them. I think you have to observe those emotions and be curious about what they're trying to tell you and let them inform you about your thoughts and then help those guide the behavior or the actions that you choose to take in your life. I think, you know, human beings, the thing we want most of all is to be connected with other people and we want to be loved. But I think that we are afraid to show up as our authentic self because we're afraid that if we don't, that we won't be loved. But if we aren't our authentic self and we're loved, we doubt that we're loved because we know that people haven't seen behind the mask. So I think that you really value, or there's great value to being your authentic self, to really coming home to that inherent worth that you're born with, to be able to accept and be aware of your own strengths and weaknesses, because no human I've met is flawless, and trusting yourself to be aware and compassionate of and for yourself and of and for others as well. So I think that we need to treat ourselves with the same love and respect that we afford to others. And I really think that that will then allow each of us to lead with courage, to lead with our heart, and to try to grow into a better version of ourselves each day so that we can show up in the world to make it a better place for all.
Yeah. I hear myself, my own story in what you're saying. It is so true. It is, the key is finding who we are. And then helping other people do the same thing. And so you mentioned before your passion and your business and where you want to head. So if people want to reach out and connect with you, where can they find you?
I am all over the place. Some days it feels a little crazy, but I definitely, the easiest place to find me is on Instagram. I'm the Key to Movement and Wellness. I do have a podcast also titled The Key to Movement and Wellness, and I have different guests from all of the 8 pillars of wellness on to share their advice, their experience, and to kind of bring you all of these great people that I've come into contact with. My website is www.thekeytomovementandwellness.com. I do have a public Facebook group also called The Key to Movement and Wellness that you could join. I'm Dr. Tina Welsom on YouTube and Dr. Tina Welsom on Twitter. So I'm all over the place. Can't miss
Thank you. I will put those in the notes in the podcast for people to be able to reach out and connect with Wonderful. You. And I really want to thank you. I want to thank you for sharing your story, and I want to thank you for being vulnerable and brave and showing up for us so that other humans can learn to be okay with being human. So thank you for joining us, Tina.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to 5x5. reach out and let me know about the thoughts, feelings and knowings that this has brought you. You can reach me on Facebook at Erin Minogue Author or on Instagram at Erin Minogue Soul Awakener. If you connect with me by signing up to my weekly newsletter, I will send you my free resource on the thought leaders, TED Talks and videos that changed my life.